Okay.
Hi, how are you? Very nice to meet you. Go Warriors! Go Warriors! Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August 26th. It's 9:30 a.m. The morning session of the Portland City Council will come to order. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. I would like to move that the City Council will convene in an evening council hearing on October 21st at 6 p.m. to hear the Northwest District Plan issues.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Carla,
That's what was originally penciled in for September 25th. We're now, will we be October? Okay.
Oh, so are we doing a September 16th evening meeting now or no? We don't know.
I don't know.
I thought this was the Northwest District remand from moving from September 23rd to October.
Yeah, we'll have staff fill up on the 16th. I don't know. Please call the roll on the motion.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. We're going to begin with communications. Carla, can you please read the title for communications, item 1204?
Request of Joe D. Pierce to address council regarding tenant rights and housing.
They turned up the volume. Good morning. Welcome to the City Council, Mr. Pierce. Glad you're here.
Good
you
morning.
Just need to give us your first and last name, no address, and you'll have 3 minutes, and that clock in front of you will help you count down the time.
Joseph D. Pierce. And I can start. Thank you for allowing me once again to address the City Council. The most pressing issue that the Tenants' Rights Project has had recently was the issue of Greg Green. We picketed the Central City Administrative Building, and he was not fired, but transferred like a shady bishop transferred a pedophile priest. This partial action makes one wonder what he has on Central City.
Could you state that again, what you just said?
Okay, he was...
You have a written statement. Could you just... I missed what you said a moment ago.
He was... transferred, not fired. We all wanted him fired, but he was
transferred. I think he's asking the same thing I was asking Commissioner Fritz. I said, did you hear what he said? And
okay.
Did you say something about pedophilia?
He was transferred like a shady bishop transfers around a pedophile priest.
What's the analogy you're drawing there?
Well, you see, a lot of things... What has happened was that he should have been fired for all the things that were happening there at the Biltmore. This issue has been going on for 4 long years. And this partial action makes one wonder exactly what he has on Central City concern. Since his removal, drugs, prostitution, bullying, and crime has been lowered. Now, I have a report card that I'd like to tell the City Council. On the issue of roaches, the grade is unsatisfactory. On bed bugs, which I had mentioned before, it needs improvement. On the Oregon landlord-tenant law, a 24-hour notification, it also needs improvement. On President Obama's new openness and honesty of people that are higher up and the powerful, the grade is unsatisfactory. on employees' paychecks routinely being late. It needs improvement. And patch jobs on the units instead of full jobs, unsatisfactory. And service request forms and incident reports, that whole system needs improvement. Red flags have been flying for years in regards to since they took over the Biltmore building. It makes one wonder what they're doing with all the millions that they're getting. And have they been the best stewards of such funding? Many other incidents and red flags will be pointed out by my colleagues and who will be speaking following me. And thank you for your attention.
Sir, I'm just going to respond, if I could, for a moment. The First Amendment protects your right to come and say anything you want, and that's its majesty. But it doesn't mean that you have the right to come and impugn someone's integrity recklessly. And in making an analogy between a beef with a housing provider and the services that they're providing and a pedophile priest, I think is out of line. Now, you have every right to say that, and the First Amendment in its majesty protects you from saying that. But if your purpose this morning is to draw our attention to the standards at a particular affordable housing project and you're asking us to look in, I don't think your cause is served by making analogies to pedophiles and priests in your presentation. And I think it's, frankly, to me, as offensive as people who refer to the Nazi healthcare plan of our president. The First Amendment protects your right to say it, and as you sit there grinning, but when you publicly proclaim an analogy to someone who, to our knowledge, has not been charged with a crime, is not at issue before us, and you make an analogy to pedophilia and priests, please understand what you are actually doing in a public forum. The First Amendment may protect it, but I also have the right to condemn you for making such a reckless allegation.
And I, as a victim of a pedophile priest, have the right to draw any analogy I feel that I can. And I didn't mean it to be mean, but it's...
You did not mean it to be mean to suggest that a building manager, his conduct, it could be equated with felonious conduct by a priest preying on children. You don't, and as you sit here, you don't see that someone could draw from that analogy a slander?
No, I do not, because transferring people around instead of firing them, which he well deserved, because Central City has the client-employee boundaries, and this gentleman has crossed them many a time.
Well, again, the First Amendment, sir, protects your right to say what you want. And it is a cherished right. And it also protects the rights of people to say stupid things. But to come in here and to make an analogy between priests and pedophiles and whatever your beef is with a manager who is not here to defend himself, who is not in the public record, where there's nothing before us, I think is reckless. And I think, frankly, you owe him an apology, him or her. And I don't see how it serves your cause in bringing attention to conditions that you are apparently deploring at some affordable housing project to make that kind of an analogy. And I think, frankly, while it gets attention in the press, I think we all ought to take a time out and ask whether it really serves our interests to make inflammatory, unsubstantiated charges in the public sector for the purpose of getting attention.
Mayor Adams, Commissioner Fish, not only do I wish you were with me last Friday night as I entered City Hall, would you escort me in and out of City Hall from now on?
Mr. Pierce, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Carla, can you please read the title for communications number 1205?
Request of Ronald G. Peterson to address council regarding tenant rights and housing.
Good morning, Mr. Peterson. Welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. I think you've been here before.
Yes, I have. Thank you very much, Mayor Adams. And I say good morning to all the commissioners this morning. I have to start my report with a rebuttal to what you said, Commissioner Fish. As far as the night monitor that was working at the Biltmore, I had seen him go into drug dealers' rooms and close the doors, which is not an official type of action by the night monitor. He has one sexual allegation against him. There are many, many discrepancies to his job that he did at the Biltmore. I don't want to impugn him necessarily beyond the factual statements that I know personally. So as far as the relevance to the Catholic priest, I can't say that one. But I know he has been a very distasteful person for a night monitor. Thank you. Now, Central City Concern has some issues that I know in ways their hands are tied. Kulongoski's plan, the way it was written up, some parts of it really just weren't done properly. I was talking with some of the upper staff at Central City Concern, and I complained about the interaction with the Portland police. And their rebuttal back was, well, we just can't have the police coming in the buildings knocking on the doors. And I know there are three drug dealers that are in the Biltmore that are walking around what seems with impunity. One of them is actually gone, but that's one of the latest arrivals. So it went from four down to three. Central City Concern does need some more work yet. I will give them their accolades. They have improved. They've made steps, but they definitely still need some improvements. Now, I want to make the suggestion because I haven't gotten very far with Central City Concern, because the Biltmore is a wet building, and when you take a rehab person and put them in a wet building, there are so many Pandora's boxes there that they're not able to officially complete their duties. It's true, since Greg is gone, it has gotten better. But there are the few, because they're trying to find someone to take the position on a regular basis, and they've not been able to. Several of the night monitors there have not held up to what they were supposed to do. I had a whole list of things, and Commissioner Fish, you caught me off guard. I understand why you said the analogy with the Catholic priest, but that one upset me, to be very honest, because I know Greg has been a real sore thumb, and I do wonder what Greg has on Central City Concern that they transferred him when there was a sexual allegation against him.
So, Mr. Peterson, you have 15 seconds left, and I want to make sure you had a chance to get did you get out the substance in terms of your concern?
Not even close.
You'll have to return.
I will.
Well, actually, we can do better than that, because Mr. Peterson, in your request to speak, you wrote tenants' rights and housing.
Correct.
And had you given us more information, I could have done some investigation prior to your testimony. If you would leave a copy of your testimony with my office, which is down the corridor,
all right,
including any allegations that you have against this provider, we'll take a look at them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thanks, Mr. Peterson, for your testimony. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor.
Carla, can you please read the title for communications, item 1206?
Request of Greg Harrison to address council regarding tenant rights and housing.
Mr. Harrison, welcome to the City Council. We only need your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay, Greg Harrison. And I have this to say, the Biltmore, a.k.a. the Bugmore, three main issues: criminal activity, security or lack thereof, and pest control. Crime is first. Thefts, drug dealing, drug abuse, prostitution, attempted break-ins, and break-ins. Money was stolen from one resident while sleeping, while his door was cracked to cool off. One resident had his DVD player stolen. The wall on the clock in the lobby was stolen. The TV in the back seating area was stolen. Found a pouch zipped in the third floor bathroom early one Saturday morning. Opened it up. It had three syringes, a spoon, and a lighter in it. Security. I had six incidents in the month of July alone. Six people knocked on my door asking various questions, looking around in my room, casing my room. Not good. When I answered the door one time, there was this guy who was very drunk, very disruptive. He tried to force his way into my room, and it was very upsetting. He even mentioned his name. He says, "Oh, I'm Carlos." And he said, "Open up, open up, open up, Joe, open up." Well, there's no Joe there. But that was an attempted home invasion. And it turns out this guy here, Carlos, was in a publication, busted. He was busted for assault, so he's a criminal. And this is a good reason for 24/7 security. This occurred on a Saturday afternoon between 1 and 2. Competent 24/7 security is mandatory. The person on duty, they just sit in the office, watch TV, play with the computer, and listen to music. This is useless. You know, it's a joke. But two or three years ago, this guy went crazy with a baseball bat and was hit banging on the walls and stuff, you know. No one was there to deal with it. I mean, he was knocking holes in the walls and, you know, damaging property and everything, you know, not good. And, of course, bed bugs, roaches. The whole building's been sprayed once. My room's been sprayed 3 or 4 times. We still have them. It's not doing any good. And I don't know. Or CCC needs to step up and just be responsible to the building that they own and now mismanage. And frankly, I'm suffering from what I call the Biltmore syndrome. Stress, headaches, depression, lack of sleep, and stomach problems like heartburn, sour stomach, and acid reflux. I now rest my case.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Carla, can you please read the title for Council Communications 1207?
Request of Mindy Stone to address Council regarding tenant rights and housing.
Ms. Stone?
She was probably not able to make it.
Okay. Please read the title for Council Communications, item number 1208.
Request of Lou Church to address Council regarding tenant rights and housing.
Mr. Church, welcome to the City Council.
You can call me Lou, Sam.
Glad you're here.
I'm Lou with PSU Progressive Student Union's Tenant Rights Project. You heard today from tenant organizers about persistent pest control problems with Central City, crime and safety problems, and there's also a lack of transparency and accountability to tenants in terms of the board meetings being closed to tenants, tenants not being allowed to speak at board meetings, and the board minutes being secret of Central City board meetings. But who is Central City unconcerned exactly? Ed Blackburn, CCC's $100,000 a year CEO, is certainly one of the stonewalling culprits. Dean Giswold, a real estate attorney on the 16th floor of the Standard Insurance Building, is another. Giswold has been CCC board president for 21 years. Giswold claims he runs Central City like a business. As I remember, that's what Bernie Madoff said. When tenants came to talk to the City Council 6 months ago, Housing Commissioner Fish had already set up a closed-door, smoke-filled room meeting with Central City honchos Blackburn and Tracy Manning. Tenants were excluded from that meeting, business as usual. Since then, Fish has absolutely refused to meet with activist tenants on this issue. Several times, tenants have gone to his office, and we've never been able to set up a meeting. We want to do that. No wonder Nick Fish failed to mention that in November 2008, at the Governor Hotel, he urged well-heeled donors to dig deep, to donate to Central City at that fundraiser, where $400,000 was raised, and Central City is a nonprofit with a $33 million annual budget. This summer, tenants have been talking to Michael Mills, ombudsman for City of Portland. Michael noted that activist tenants can run a candidate in the next election against a particular commissioner. The Ombudsman Office, and that the Ombudsman Office itself doesn't investigate particular commissioners on the council. Mills did say that Portland's mayor can alter or reassign bureaus. And one of the things that tenants have been discussing in the last month, in particular to what Joe talked about at the beginning, is reassigning the Housing Bureau from Commissioner Fish to someone we believe cares about tenants, workers, and the poor, Amanda Fritz. In a recent Lent Week article, Nick Fish said he wants Portland to be the one city in the world, quote, where Jesus would be welcome, unquote. Well, activist tenants want Portland to be a city where Martin Luther King, Rosa Luxemburg, Joe Hill, Noam Chomsky, Emma Goldman, John Reed, Louise Bryant, Dorothy Day, Oscar Romero, Hugo Chavez, and Cesar Chavez would be welcome in Portland. If Cesar Chavez were alive today, he would urge Nick Fish to meet with activist tenants and stop pimping for the roach-infested slumlord Central City unconcerned.
Thank you, Lou, for your testimony.
Excuse me, Mayor Adams, but given the theme in the testimony here today, I feel compelled to say a couple of things. I think I've worked with Central City Concern here longer than the rest of the council combined, starting back in 1979 as a young firefighter standing on the corner at 2:30 a.m. of First and Ankeny, when we were attending to an inebriated man who, up to that point, had either been put into a cab and taken somewhere or the police arrested and taken somewhere. And this van rolled up on this early morning, summer evening, and it said Cheers on the side. And a couple of young men came out and said, "We got it, guys, you can go home." And we were absolutely stunned that there was actually an entity that had begun a service for people specifically that were passed out drunk laying on the streets of downtown Portland. I actually inquired as a young firefighter who those folks were and met Richard Harris for the first time. Please put your hand down and listen. And met Richard Harris for the first time, which began a 30-plus year relationship that included a 1986 video, for those of you who may be interested, that I gave on behalf of Central City Concern and the work they do for the people who had previously been ignored by the rest of us folks in society. And they used that for a number of years as a fundraiser. Central City Concern, I have characterized, before I've known Commissioner Fish, as the Mother Teresa of service agencies in Portland. They take people who have been ignored, forgotten, and walked around and pay attention to them. What we're hearing today is an example of what you find in any kind of bureaucracy that provides any kind of services. You've pointed out a problem. And I've taken note of it, and I want to assure you that I don't have to follow up on it because I know Commissioner Fish well in spite of the unfair things that were just said about him. He takes his job as the housing commissioner. No one has ever worked harder as housing commissioners as Commissioner Fish. He will look into it. I will tell you, to repeat some of what he said, you guys need to work on your delivery a little bit. There are problems. Tell us what the problems are. Give us a chance to fix them, and then judge us by those standards, but not by impugning those that are working to try to help you. And certainly look in the bigger picture at Central City Concern, which continues to be the Mother Teresa of Portland service agencies. And I would argue in the United States there is no other social service agency that serves the population they do as successfully as they do. By definition, because of the people they serve, were heroin addicts, criminals, alcoholics, mentally ill, or a combination of all, you're going to have problems, and you need to put that in perspective. And we need to hear them, and we need to fix them, but this was not the appropriate way to do it. Thank you.
I have a comment.
Commissioner Fritz.
A couple of weeks ago, Commissioner Fish received the Housing Champion Award from the Community Alliance of Tenants, and I have complete confidence in his ability and willingness and that he will take care of these issues and that he is absolutely the right person to lead the Housing Bureau.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, because frankly, looking at the funding for the next fiscal year and the need, I was thinking of going to the mayor and asking that he transfer housing to you. But I appreciate the confidence that you have. And again, I would simply say that there is no one on this council that doesn't cherish our First Amendment rights, but it doesn't give us all a license to engage in irresponsible and reckless speech. We're seeing that unfold in the healthcare debate, but we're also finally seeing elected officials ask people to show a little bit of decency and common sense in their communication. I understand in an organizing drive, as a former organizer, that heated rhetoric often gets one attention and therefore serves a purpose. But if the concern is truly with tenants and the people who live in our buildings, I think there's a better way to go about it. I appreciate comments from my colleagues.
Well, and just to leave no uncertainty, I'm enthusiastically supportive of Commissioner Fish remaining as housing commissioner. Your comments, I'm sure concerns, will be followed up, but I'm making absolutely no changes. We are at the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? I've got 231 will be
No, that's on the regular agenda. All right. Anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? All right, Carla, please call the roll on the consent agenda.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I was planning to make this comment before, but it's even more pertinent that two of the items on the consent agenda bring nearly $7 million in federal stimulus money for housing provision, and I commend Commissioner Fish for making sure that that money is coming to Portland. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. Carla, would you please read the title for the 9:30 time certain, item number 1209.
Commend city staff and project team for hard work and dedication in the implementation of the Enterprise Business Solution Project.
Mr. Rust, welcome. Ms. Sims, welcome. And Mr. Higgins, glad you're here.
Morning, Mayor Adams and members of the City Council. For the record, I am Ken Rust, Director of the Office of Management and Finance. Joining me today are Jennifer Sims, the city's CFO, and the project sponsor for the Enterprise Business Solution, or EBS, project, and Bruce Higgins, Senior Vice President with SAP Consulting. The purpose of the resolution that is before you this morning is to formally recognize and acknowledge the enormously hard work and effort that the city's EBS project team, project consultants, and city bureaus have provided over the past 5 years in bringing the new SAP system to fruition. While it has taken longer than planned and cost more than originally estimated, that does not diminish the accomplishment. For the first time in the city's history, we have a modern, integrated system to handle the city's financial, human resource, and business needs. Furthermore, it replaces our previous financial system that was long in the tooth and in jeopardy of being abandoned by the vendor at any time. As CAO, eliminating this business risk was a key priority of mine and one that I'm proud to have accomplished on my watch. While we have successfully finished the implementation phase of the project, we have much to do, including adding new functionality and learning how to wring efficiencies out of the system in order to improve business processes, better serve citizens and customers, and reduce costs. However, being in the mainstream of technology with a product that is used by thousands of entities around the world, both public and private, gives us confidence that we can learn, grow, and adapt with it over time. And we plan to be running SAP for a long time. Over the course of this project, you, the City Council, have been strong supporters of the effort to modernize the city's financial system. I appreciate your support over this long effort, and I particularly appreciate the hard work, dedication, and commitment of all of those who have helped make this project a success, many of whom are here today to share in this recognition. I would now like to ask Jennifer Sims to provide you with a report on the highlights of the project and what we have accomplished.
Thank you, Ken. I'd like to take just a few minutes to recount some of the history of the EBS project. I will quickly review what is in place now, how things are different, and what lies ahead. The council officially authorized the project in 2004, followed by a rigorous software and consultant selection process. The project kickoff was in December of 2006 with two phases. Phase one, called Finance and Logistics, went live without incident on November 26th of 2008. This included most financial functions, such as accounts payable and receivable, grants management, purchasing and contracts, and more. On June 18th this year, the city completed phase two in implementing the SAP Enterprise Software System. This allowed us to fully retire the 18-year-old mainframe IBIS system. Phase two included many HR functions and payroll. Consultants and city staff, many loaned by bureaus, worked together in teams to do the configuration, testing, training, and other work. Project staffing peaked at 135 when both phases were in progress. Today, we have in place a system that provides a wide range of benefits and efficiencies that we are realizing each day. For example, purchases and contracts are electronically requested, approved, routed, and tracked, saving time and paper. Financial information is available in real time for better management and decision making. Use of Social Security numbers is replaced with employee record numbers to help prevent identity theft. Configuration ensures consistent interpretation and compliance with bargaining unit contracts. To date, we have 1,800 city employees trained on the various modules. We are running over 22, well, we are paying out almost 9,000 paychecks every 2 weeks on this system. We've issued over 22,000 purchase orders since the system was live. We've issued almost 104,000 invoices and 34,000 checks. While the project encountered bumps along the way, our efforts and results have been recognized with two awards. The city received a Computer World Laureate Honors Award and a Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada Award for Excellence in Finance, honorable mention. And those awards are before you right here on the dais. So where are we going now? We are currently in a critical stabilization mode for phase two. This period requires intensive support for users and the system. Stabilization will take several months to achieve. We are working through the first fiscal year end closing process, and a similar first will occur next year with W-2 and 1099 processing. And we have consulting services planned and budgeted to aid us with these complex tasks. The EBS project staff and consultants have been transitioning to the support structure that will provide ongoing support for the bureaus and the system. The support plan calls for 30 FTE, including functional, technical, communications, change management, and training staff. Most of the positions have already been filled, primarily by members of the project team. This team works in a new division of OMF, reporting to the Chief Administrative Officer. A new classification must be created for this division manager, and you'll see a filing for action on this next month. The project, while in progress, was governed by two committees, the Executive Steering Committee and a Project Advisory Committee. Both of these committees were critical to the project's success. So going forward, the ESC and PAC are being retained to help set work priorities, make recommendations to council on new functionality and budget-related matters. The Executive Steering Committee will also recommend operating principles to guide the use of this system, and these are also planned for council consideration next month. In closing, I would like to personally thank the council for your unwavering support throughout this very difficult project. Your support and leadership has brought us together as one citywide team to achieve something that will serve the city for a long time. And now I'd like to introduce Bruce Higgins, Senior Vice President from SAP Consulting.
Thank you, Jennifer. Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council, good morning, and thanks for the chance to spend just a few moments with you. I have three purposes this morning. One, to thank you. Two, to congratulate you. And three, to look ahead just a little bit. First, to thank you. We came together to build a partnership, to indeed deliver and provide to the citizens of the City of Portland the opportunity to improve its business operations and to do better from a business operations perspective. The partnership that we built together indeed accomplished and delivered on that promise. And as the SAP executive sponsor for this program, I indeed want to thank each of you for having the confidence in us as SAP to partner with your team to indeed accomplish this activity. Second, to congratulate you. The activities of this project team, both the consultants and the city workers, was much more than just a technology implementation project. It was indeed focused always on the business results that were intended to be obtained. And keeping those business results at the forefront has enabled the project to reach its implementation dates and further to be recognized, as Jennifer commented in her remarks, globally, both by Computer World and by the Government Finance Officers Association. Just a footnote on that Computer World acknowledgement. There were, in 2009, 100 laureates globally, and the City of Portland The city of Portland was one of those 100. I could not be prouder to be associated with this project, nor could I more earnestly congratulate each of you. Finally, to look ahead. As I commented, the business objectives of this project were the guiding principles, the compass, throughout the history of the project. You now have, the citizens of the city now have, a single integrated human resources, payroll, financial, and logistics system to not only drive the business operations of the city, but indeed to do the business of the city even better. I and SAP are delighted, pleased, thankful to have been a part of this project, and look forward enthusiastically as the citizens of the city reap the benefits of what we've built together. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
No one else signed up.
All right. Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
You're going to introduce the team? Or?
Go ahead and everyone associated with the team, if you could please stand up. Wow. Thank you all very much. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank all the team for giving us a modern business operations system. And I particularly want to thank Ken Rust for having the vision to set this in motion. And Tim Grew, I guess, before that, who really started the wheels rolling. But Ken inherited this and made it happen. But I particularly want to single out Jennifer Sims, who really made this eat, lived, and breathed EBS for, and probably still is, but certainly for the last 2 years. And it really takes somebody like that to really successfully bring this complicated changeover to fruition. And I think we do have something that, well, I know there's still a lot of people in the bureaus, my office included, who still groan about SAP. I know that these are learning stages and adjustment stages that Mr. Higgins has probably seen in other projects as well. But I think the benefits are there for the long term and will certainly make the city operate more efficiently with less paper, too. More electronics, less paper. That's good. So, and in an up-to-date system. So I want to thank all of you, all the team, for the great work, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
Well, I think it was just Commissioner Saltzman and I on the council when Tim Grew first initiated this project, and Ken would be quick to tell you it wasn't his idea. He, in fact, inherited it, and not in the greatest state. And so I've been trying to think here for folks at home why they should get excited about this, because I fear for the folks at home, as they saw this on the agenda trying to plan their morning, because there's a lot of folks that watch us at home, they thought this would be a good time for me to start my laundry, water my outside plants, make sure the dog's fed, and hopefully by the time I'm done with those three chores, they'll be done with that and on to something that I'll actually understand. But let me have folks by home at home and maybe even here better appreciate through an analogy what this means. If you go in to buy a brand new car, generally you don't meet the engineer of that automobile. You meet a salesman. And the salesman points out the sunroof and the tachometer and the great stereo system, and then ask you to take it for a ride. You go for a ride down the freeway. It accelerates nice. You might ask how many miles per gallon it gets. He tells you 22. You think, wow, for a Cadillac, I get 22 miles a gallon. That's pretty good. You get back. Now, if car salesmen were really doing their job well, they'd say, if you're interested in buying this car, we have a requirement that you sit down and talk with somebody who explains actually the more important features of this vehicle that you like so much you want to buy. Now, when you put fuel in this vehicle, you put it in back here, and it goes through a fuel line. It enters the engine, and then we have a computerized system that decides exactly how much fuel to dispense into the fuel injection system into each cylinder to maximize not only your mileage but your power. And then when that's done, it comes out the other end that through this very sophisticated exhaust system that we've designed, so you have zero pollution. And what these folks have done is design that. What the city enjoys is a well-run operating machine. What we need to appreciate up here is these are the architects, these are the engineers, and these are the folks behind the scenes that get it done. They're not the glitzy salesmen. That's what we do. They are the people that actually make us look good by designing systems like this so it looks like we're better than what we really are. Because a car salesman can be proud and can show off the result of a lot of other people's hard work that nobody ever understands or recognizes. I am so happy, having been here from day one and seen both Jennifer and Ken struggle to not only make this work right, but at sometimes come in and say, we've got this part wrong, Randy, and we need to take a left. Are you with us? And I'm like, hey, that's music to my ears to have somebody acknowledge that there's a problem and not try to gloss over it. I'm with you to the left. And then come back later and say, now we're going to need to go a little to the right. Music to my ears. So I've been proud to support you. I'm proud of the product. And there's no way that I could ever describe for other people what it is you've accomplished, because all they get to do is enjoy the sunroof and the nice stereo. They don't get why it's that way. I do, and I appreciate your work. Aye.
Fritz.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the headlines in the paper tomorrow talked about City of Portland Computer System wins global award as one of the 100 best? Because I think many of us remember previous headlines that talked about a computer system that didn't work as well as hoped, and yet this is a wonderful thing, and you've done really well. You worked really hard. You chose to delay implementation when you weren't sure if it was going to work for 3 months, and that cost a little more, but then we made sure that it worked. And I know that you've all worked extremely hard, and it seems like most of this room is folks who've worked extremely hard on this project. And I echo my colleagues in being very grateful that there are people with the technical expertise to understand the ins and outs of this system. Mm-hmm. What it means for me and for the citizens of Portland is it's going to be much easier to find out what's in the city budget and what things are spent mm-hmm. on. And that's a huge value to the citizens of Portland, and I thank you very much. And I also want to thank all of the folks in all of the bureaus who have been working through the kinks patiently, who have understood that this is something that we need to do, we're committed to doing. It's for the long haul. It's a long-term investment, and the short-term problems, each of the staff in the bureaus are working on tirelessly. Well, it's not tirelessly. It's extremely tiring, but you've kept going anyway, and I really appreciate it. Aye.
Fish.
Well, first, I just want to say, Randy, I'm ready to buy that car. Can I get $4,500 for my clunker, though? That might actually seal the deal. But thank you. I think I'm the resident Luddite here. And what saves me is I have a 16-year-old daughter that is a computer whiz, and you know she can do things on her laptop that I don't even think Apple figured out. And I think I've basically mastered the art of responding to emails. So when I got my regular briefings from you, Jennifer, and Ken, I have to say at the beginning of it, initially when I got elected, it felt like you were speaking in a foreign language. But over time, I sort of got the drift of what you were doing. And as you showed me the progress and the benchmarks and the goals, and you kept hitting your mark, I came to realize we were in very good hands. I didn't relish those meetings, because there was frankly a lot that went over my head, but I appreciated the fact that you kept me posted and that you hit your mark. I think if you look up in the dictionary under the definition of thankless work, I think this project would qualify. And while I used to think that the mayor had the hardest job in this building, I'm increasingly of the view, Ken, that you might be a rival in that area, given the scope of your work. So I want to join my colleagues in thanking you for the professionalism and the hard work. Of course, to people watching this, we've come to expect that from everything that you're involved with. But this particular project was fraught with peril, and these kinds of things make great headlines if you don't get it right, but there's a sigh of relief when you do get it right. And I just want to thank you for everything you've done and the continuing process. As someone mentioned, there's still some bugs to be ironed out in any system like this. But I also appreciate the fact that you've been a voice of caution about in terms of some of the work we're doing creating a new bureau and maybe going a little slower on some of the IT stuff. And I really respect your knowledge base, and we're going to follow your lead on that. So thanks for a job well done. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank you for your work, and I want to thank the bureau folks as well who have been at the front lines of this project. I also want to underscore my thanks for the citizen experts that we brought in to provide us with a fourth or fifth opinion on this project, and associate myself with the comments made by my colleagues, and let it serve as inspiration to make SAP the tool that it has the potential to be in terms of improving our effectiveness, our efficiency, and our accountability. So it is good to get this phase of the project done, and we have a lot more work to do. Let's come back in 18 months and get the award for the best implementation protocols and efficiency improvements of any customer of SAP. So with that, I vote aye. Thank you. I'm going to take chair's prerogative and ask that we read council calendar item emergency ordinance 1225. That's our next item.
25, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Portland Public Schools and Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District of Oregon to expand the Student Transit Pass pilot program to offer fareless public transportation for students at additional Portland high schools with the intention to measure results and expand the program as appropriate.
Commissioner Fritz.
I need to declare a potential conflict of interest in that my son is now gainfully employed I'm very happy about this, at Marshall High School in the Step Up program with Open Meadows as a tutor. And since this program is going to free up money that the schools are currently spending on bus passes, there is a potential that he might get more hours of work, but that's not certain, and I'm told by the city attorney that it's okay for me to declare this potential conflict of interest and continue to participate.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Well, I am enthusiastic to bring this ordinance to council. It is an ordinance that fundamentally will provide fairer and more complete mobility to Portland's high school students. Most Portlanders do not realize that Portland Public School District Number 1 has not been able to afford a yellow bus service in any significant way for high school students for many, many, many years, at least 25 years. So this is our initial rollout in one of 7 districts within the county. Other districts in the county are able to continue providing some yellow school bus service for students. Although our goal is to implement this countywide, we're starting with this first effort in Portland Public School District Number 1. It builds on a pilot that I worked with Mayor Tom Potter on. Nate Scholes from his office was the key staff person on that. I want to acknowledge both of their early efforts on this project at the outset of my presentation. I also want to acknowledge at the outset that this was the number one priority for the Multnomah Youth Commission. They recognize that to be a successful high school student and to have the kind of learning experiences, to have the kind of quality of life that all high school students should have access to, that providing equity and mobility and access, transportation, was a deficit that needed to be addressed. So we'll hear from the Multnomah Youth Commission, but I wanted to recognize them up front as well. This definitely supports our sustainability goals in terms of reducing our carbon footprint while also building a new generation of transit users by reducing the barrier of cost to high school transit users. This is, like almost everything your city council does, a partnership. In addition to the organizations and individuals that I've already mentioned, this is also a key partnership with TriMet and Portland Public School District Number 1. We also have fast-tracked this because it is a quiet, maybe not at the surface, easily recognized, important piece to improving high schools, to reforming high schools, giving students the ability not only to choose a high school a distance from where they live, but also is emerging the concept out of Portland Public Schools, the notion to allow high school students during the course of the week to have access to instructions and programs outside their home high school across the city. Again, this partnership came together because this helps make that kind of high school reform happen. And as most everyone I hope knows, one of my top priorities is to reduce the 43% high school dropout rate and giving high school students choices and making sure that the instruction and the academic program is engaging and successful requires that we give them options for moving around the community. So I'd like to welcome to the podium Reese Lord from my office, part of my education team, Carolyn Young from TriMet, and Jenny Villano from Portland Public Schools. And thank you very much for working on this. It has not been easy, but it has been very rewarding to get to this point. Mr. Lord.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, commissioners, for the record, my name is Reese Lord. I'm a member of the mayor's education team, and in that role, I help staff the Multnomah Youth Commission. I want to thank you for the opportunity to bring this item before council today. There'll be a number of folks who will testify as to the benefits of Youth Pass and why council should unanimously approve this measure. I want to first provide brief overview to start out with. As you may recall, this is the third time that Youth Pass has been brought before council. Your support in the past has allowed this program to grow from an idea spearheaded by the Youth Commission to a reality with last year's pilot at Franklin, Jefferson, and Roosevelt. The intergovernmental agreement before you builds on the success of the pilot and will expand the program to all 13,000 PPS, Portland Public High School students. The program leverages existing PPS transportation funding as well as the state business energy tax credit to cover the full cost of the program. No city funds will be used to pay for the operation of the program this year. As the agreement details, the city does guarantee the tax credit of up to $2.5 million, but as a comparator, the city routinely sells $3.5 to $5 million in tax credits annually to support its transportation options and sustainability projects. And we continue to get confirmation from Department of Energy staff that demand to buy credits continues to far exceed the supply of credits available. While the current agreement covers PPS students, the goal remains to expand Youth Pass to all middle and high school students throughout the county. As you are aware, Portland Public Schools does not offer yellow school bus service to high school students. This, along with the extensive TriMet service within the district, made PPS a logical point to initiate the program. I want to thank the Multnomah Youth Commission, TriMet, and Portland Public Schools for their partnership on this endeavor and their testimony here today to ask for your support. And barring any pressing questions, I would like to introduce my partners here at the table. So to start off with, from TriMet, we have the Executive Director of Technology and Communications, Carolyn Young.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor and Commissioners, very happy to be here today. My name is Carolyn Young, Executive Director of Communications and Technology with TriMet. As Mayor Adams mentioned, this has been a process that we've been working on for well over a year, figuring out all of the details of the tax credit program and how we can take advantage of that to provide transportation to students. And Mayor Adams, you say that it's been over 25 years. It's actually been 30 years since the Portland Public School District 1 received an exemption from the requirement to provide yellow bus service for high school students. And the thinking at the time was that the yellow bus service wasn't needed because TriMet had good service to the schools, and so students could take that. The problem with that thinking was that it transferred the cost of providing transportation to schools from the state to the parents and to TriMet. And because TriMet only receives a fraction of its operating costs from the fare box, TriMet is a major contributor to providing transportation to students. With this program, we're able to remove that burden of paying for student transportation from the families. The program combines access to transportation connections throughout the city with the funding sources to make the transit passes available at no charge to the high school students. TriMet's role is to provide high-quality public transportation service to those high schools in Portland Public School District. Every weekday, we put out extra service at the time that class is dismissed at most of the high schools to carry the high volume of students that ride our service. And without the access to this high-quality transportation and the ability to pay for the ticket, students, in essence, are excluded from many social activities. It's difficult to pay to go to school. They can't participate in after-school programs. They can't get to jobs. They can't get to recreation. And they don't have the social interaction that they can have by having high-quality transportation. We have a terrific partnership with the city, with the mayor's office, the school district, and with the Multnomah County Youth Commission. We very much appreciate the role that the Youth Commission has played in reaching out directly to students in high school with our Respect the Ride campaign message to ask students to be courteous when they're riding public transportation. So it was one of the concerns about expanding the program, but I'm happy to report that we did not have an increase in complaints about student behavior in the first part of the pilot program. So very much appreciate Mayor Adams' leadership on this. TriMet has many programs that provide passes to government agencies, to private businesses, through our pass sales programs. But there's no program that's more important than this program that gets passes into the hands of students.
Thank you. And I just want to reiterate, it seems pretty simple to do in actuality with all the federal and state regulatory and strings attached to money in addition to the sort of city requirements. It's been incredibly complex. And I just want to underscore my thanks to you and the TriMet Board and to Fred for your leadership on this issue and helping to make it happen. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good morning. I am Jenny Villano, the Regional Director of Districtwide Options in Portland Public Schools. And I have to say, I am ecstatic to be here this morning to talk with you on behalf of the students and families of Portland Public Schools. As you know, access to learning opportunities has been a challenge for many families in Portland over the years. 1 year ago, thanks to the efforts of former Mayor Tom Potter and the Multnomah Youth Commission, you approved the TriMet passes for students in two of our high schools to begin with, Jefferson and Franklin, with the hope of eventually providing the same opportunity for transportation to all Portland students. Today, that dream moves closer to a reality thanks to the continued collaboration and partnership of TriMet, the Mayor's Office, the Portland Schools Foundation, and Portland Public Schools. For many of our students, transportation barriers have limited access to educational opportunities, extracurricular activities, employment, and a general awareness of their city. In today's economic climate, the cost of a TriMet pass is simply out of reach for many families. The Youth Pass program allows everyone equal opportunities to take advantage of all that Portland has to offer its youth. While the Youth Pass program benefits all Portland Public School students, it has very special significance to our students who are in our education options schools and programs. Close to 3,500 students in our alternative and charter schools travel from all over the city to attend schools that meet their unique needs. And too often, transportation issues have caused our most vulnerable students to disengage from their education or prevent them from re-engaging after they have already dropped out. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of informing our education options leaders of this fantastic opportunity. The responses were overwhelming. One principal phoned me in tears and told me that just yesterday morning, prior to hearing the news, she was leading a tour of the school, and someone in the tour asked her, "What keeps you up at night?" Her response, unknowing that this was coming, was getting my students to school. You have no idea of the profound positive impact your actions today will have on the youth of Portland. As PPS moves forward with our high school redesign, the Youth Pass will provide the flexibility for students to access